And I'm going to start a very important study on faith. And it's going to take us a few weeks to go through it. I've been looking at faith in great detail in the Bible. And hopefully we're going to be able to find a balance. I know that faith can be taken to an extreme. I know also that because of that, we tend to sometimes shy away from some of these subjects. And I want to give you what I believe the Bible says that we need. And you know, this is so important because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want to please Him, we have to have a proper understanding of faith. We have to be exercising faith in the right way. And I know that God will reward us for that. But today I would like us to once again look at Elijah. And if you would look at 2 Kings chapter 2, I was going to read just verse 11, but I'm going to read more than that. As we talk about the spirit and power of Elijah again today. We started this a couple of weeks ago, and then we had Mother's Day last week. And so I've gone back and looked at it again, expounded some things that I would have given you a couple of weeks ago. It's certainly not an exhaustive message on Elijah, but some highlights, things I would like to point out about the spirit and power of this man of God. 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I would like to talk to you about the spirit and power of this man of God, Elijah. And if you notice the things that he went through in his life, here we see him walking with the one who's going to be his successor, Elisha. And as they're walking, Elijah keeps telling him, "You stay here, I'm going to go on." And Elisha said, "I'm not going to let you out of my sight today. Wherever you go, I will be right there beside you." And eventually they get to this place that's the Jordan River, and there's water in front of them. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in life you face obstacles? How many of you face obstacles? Sometimes there's like a flowing Jordan River that's right in front of you, right in your path. You want to keep going, you want to go on, but here is this water. Here is this obstacle. There's no alternative but to go forward. You know, the cloud says, move forward. And the signs of circumstance point forward. And the impression in our heart, what we determine to be the Lord's voice says, I want you to move forward. But how? The Jordan is in front of us. How can we go forward? See, these are the times for faith. This is the time when we have to exercise our faith, because I want you to know that when God's finger points, God will make the way. If God points you in a certain direction, He will make it possible for you to go in that direction. He makes a way. He makes a way where there is no way. So we are told that after they got on the other side of the Jordan River, these two men of God were just talking. I would have loved to have been able to eavesdrop on that conversation. Can you imagine the conversation that took place between these two great prophets? While they're talking, all of a sudden, there appears this chariot of fire, and Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind into heaven. But in the course of that conversation, just prior to that, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken from thee. What, you know, and why should we not strive to gain like precious faith as this? But Elijah said, what do you want me to do for you, Elisha, before I am taken from you? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, what did Elisha mean by this request? Was he just being greedy? What did he mean? Well, Elijah was a great prophet, and in those days there was the school of the prophets. And so young men went and studied at the school to learn how to be prophets. Elijah was the master of all the prophets at that time. But Elisha was the servant that was closest to him. Elisha was the one that would take over Elijah's ministry. He would be the one to take the mantle and to carry on. And so Elisha said, I simply want a double portion of your spirit. I want that which is the right of the firstborn. And so that's all he's asking for. He says, I want the right of the firstborn. Spiritually, I want your power. I want your spirit to be upon me. I'm your eldest son. I'm going to be taking over the work. I'm going to be the successor to your work. May I have a double portion? Elijah said, you have asked for a hard thing. But if you see me when I am taken from you, then you will have it. You know, my prayer is that we all pray to be endowed with such a spirit, that we wouldn't be satisfied with what we have or even with what the generation previous to us has had. Because there is one that we can go to and we can pour out our heart before Him and ask Him for the Holy Spirit and realize this, He is more eager to give us His Spirit than we are to even receive it. He is wanting to give His Spirit. And I wonder how many times we come across obstacles and we say, you know, those obstacles are just too difficult for me. I will never be able to get over those obstacles. And maybe it's even something that would be a good thing for us to do. Maybe it's even a ministry that God wants to give us. And we look at this ministry and we say, I couldn't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have that kind of ability. What if we, instead of turning away from that opportunity, instead ask God to enable us and to fill us with His Spirit and power so that we were able to do that ministry? I don't think we can use our lack of ability as an excuse. Because if God calls us, if God points the finger, then God will enable us to be able to do that. He will give us a fresh baptism of power, a fresh endowment of His Spirit if we would simply ask Him for it. In other words, we don't need to shrink from Elijah's work if we have received Elijah's Spirit. If he has given us that spirit and power, we can do those works. And so instead of saying, I don't feel qualified, let somebody else do it. Instead of that, if we could go to the Lord expecting, praying in faith that we would be endued with power from on high, there is not any work that God could not prepare you and qualify you to do. You know, that Elijah did all of these things was because through faith he had received the Spirit of God. And I want you to know that we can do it again. The weakest and humblest among us can do mighty works if we are prepared to wait, watch, and pray until our Pentecost breaks upon us. But let me look at those two conditions that were imposed upon Elisha. Two conditions. First of all, he had to have tenacity of purpose. Elijah tested him every step of the way. Tarry here. Tarry here. Tarry here. Why don't you stay here? I'm just going to go on up there. No, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow you. They get over there. Why don't you just stay here? I'm going to go to the Jordan next. Just stay here. But Elisha would have none of it. He was not going to let Elijah out of his step. First, they came to Gilgal. I was wondering, are these cities important? Why are they mentioned? They have to be important for some reason. I don't know all the reasons why they're listed there, but just reading a little bit about Gilgal, I guess it was a very picturesque place, a very beautiful city. And so Elijah's saying to Elisha, why don't you stay here in this beautiful city? Why don't you bask in this beautiful scenery? Elisha said, no, I'm going to follow you. But why don't you stay next at Bethel? You know, Bethel is where Jacob had that encounter with God. Saw a ladder ascending into heaven and angels ascending and descending on the ladder. Bethel, house of God. Why don't you stay here at the house of God? Just tarry here. Just wait here. Elisha said, no, I will not wait here. I will follow you. I will go to where you're going to next. And eventually they come there to the Jordan River. The Jordan pictures death. It's a place of sacrifice. Even there, Elisha would not put down roots, stay there. He said, no, I will go through the Jordan. I will go through the flood of death in order to be with you. You know, I think that before giving us the Holy Spirit, our Father will certainly try us to see if we can live without Him. And if we are content to live without Him, we may. But we cannot be content with that. Say, no, I will not be content in some beautiful city. I will not be content even in the house of God. I will not be content until your Spirit falls upon me, because I cannot live without His power and without His Spirit. We all have to pass through the Jordan. Daily we have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We have to be conformed to Him in the likeness of His death and in the fellowship of His sufferings. The old nature has to be crucified. The divine will has to be embraced and accepted. So Elisha had to have this tenacity of purpose. He also had to have incredible spiritual eyesight. The Scripture says, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. To see this translation of Elijah in the Spirit would require a spirit of no ordinary purity, no ordinary faith. He had to be able to look into the spiritual realm. He had to be himself a great man of faith, a righteous and holy and just man. Our reception of the Spirit will be in exact proportion to how we subject our flesh and how we let God's Spirit control our inner life. And so Elisha takes up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. That mantle meant everything. When Elisha saw the mantle, he knew that his request had been answered. He knew that he was going to have the double portion of Elijah's spirit. The Eastern people say that the mantle was the sign that one was consecrated to a special office. Elisha took up the mantle. He knew now that he was to carry on the office of Elijah. He knew at once that heaven had granted him this request. And he knew that if he was to take up Elijah's post, he would also have Elijah's power. You know, as soon as we receive some endowment of spirit, we can expect it to be tested. Because remember, Elijah and Elisha had to cross the Jordan River. And Elijah took out his mantle, he smote the waters rolled back, and Elijah and Elisha walked over to the other side of the river. But now Elisha has to get back. So what does he do? He takes the mantle of Elijah and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he took Elijah's mantle and he smote the waters. And the waters rescinded for Elisha just like they did Elijah. But you know, when you ask for the Spirit and power, God is going to test you to see if you will use it. See, he could have stayed on the other side. He could have tried some other means, some other way to get across, but he didn't. What he saw Elijah do, that's what he decided he will do. What may not one man do in one brief life, if he is simply a living conduit pipe through which the power of God may descend to man. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking the Holy Spirit speaking in Malachi, the very last of the prophets, the last verses of the Old Testament. You could find no better symbol of one who was to come to announce the Messiah, Christ, than to compare him with a famous prophet who centuries before had swept to heaven in the chariot of fire. "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord." And then there is Gabriel, the angel, standing 400 years after that amid the burning incense in the holy place. Found no easier way to describe to an aged priest that he is going to have a son, but this son is going to be special because this son would be like Elijah. He said, "For he himself shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And then whenever a notable religious movement was stirring the land, people began to think that Elijah had come back to earth again. And when they saw John the Baptist, they said, "Are you Elijah?" And then when Jesus came on the scene and began to perform his ministry, they attributed some of his works to that of Elijah. All of this was just a strong testimony to Elijah's character and work. But I want you to know this morning that the secret to Elijah's power was not found in any of these intrinsic qualities that he possessed, but it was simply in the fact that he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's the thing that made all the difference in the world. And God is taking today old men and young men, old women, young women, handmaidens, upon any servant of his, he is wanting to pour out his Spirit upon them. And you know, the command to be filled with the Spirit has never been rescinded. It has never been rescinded. It is much as a command for us today as it was for those in New Testament times. The only great thing is, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people and left them. It came and it anointed special people, certain people. But here, the anointing, the Spirit is for everyone. That's for you and I. When John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, like John the Baptist, we can go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people for the Lord, a people prepared for Him. There are some conditions that we have to comply with in order to receive and stay filled with the Spirit. The first thing is that we have to be emptied. God cannot fill that which is already full. It took 10 days to drain the apostles, a preliminary day to the day of Pentecost. For Elijah, this process went beside the drying brook as he emptied himself. That is the first prerequisite for all of us. We have to be emptied that we might be full. Let us also believe that He does fill us as soon as we yield ourselves to Him. You don't want Him any more urgently than He wants more of you. And both work together. You know, I think that grace, like nature, abhors a vacuum. And when the Christian soul has been emptied of self, the Spirit of God rushes in to fill that longing void. He has not been slower to give the Holy Spirit than earthly fathers to give bread to their hungry children. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And so we have to, we have to ask. Secondly, we have to be obedient. We want to be like Elijah. We have to be obedient because Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 5, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And so the exact obedience of Elijah was a condition of receiving and keeping the spirit and power of Elijah. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, it says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. That obey him. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. So we have to ask. We have to be living a life of obedience. Three, we must live on the word of God. The widow woman said to Elijah, I know that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. I know that the word in thy mouth is truth. This is a further condition. Absolutely remaining filled with the Holy Spirit means that we need to be filled with His Word, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. The Spirit works with us and through the Word. A neglected Bible means a starved and strengthless spirit, a comfortless heart, a barren life, and a grieved Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit was the chief, was a characteristic of the church. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And these were the original apostles. These were other disciples and followers of Jesus. But to guard against leakage, which I think we are common to do, they were filled again. I came across this verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, where it speaks of them being filled again. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, rather. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The interesting thing is that these people in Acts chapter 4 are the same people in Acts chapter 2. And so they were filled again. The early church was a collection of Holy Ghost-filled people. I think that they were probably more filled than not filled. To not be filled was the exception. Being filled was the majority. I find it interesting that there is no ending to the book of Acts, because it has not ended. We are to continue. The story is to be prolonged through the ages after the same manner. Number four, we must desire to be filled for the glory of God. We must desire to be filled, not for selfish reasons, but for God's glory. Number five, we must bring cleansed vessels. God will not deposit His most precious gift in unclean receptacles. Number six, we must be prepared to let the Holy Spirit do as He wills with us and through us. There's a law in physics that forces work in the direction of least resistance. I think the Holy Spirit does that as well. He works with those who do not resist Him. Let's not resist Him. Let's not quench the Spirit. And then we must appropriate Him by faith. We must appropriate Him by faith. You know, I struggle with this. When you pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it seems like it takes a while, and yet we tell people that it's a gift, that you just receive by faith. And any gift, you know, that God gives, He gives. He just gives it. And yet there seems to be the struggle that takes place. I think the struggle is within ourselves. It's not that God is not willing to give any of His gifts to us immediately. But the struggle is an internal struggle that we have within ourselves. But I don't think we have to wait the 10 days. Because I don't think it has to be prolonged, because the Holy Spirit is one of the spiritual blessings which with the Father has blessed us in Christ Jesus. See, we as Christians, we are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is one of those promised blessings to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so that's what I mean. We have to appropriate Him by faith. By faith, we receive Him. By faith, we receive any of the gifts that God wants to give. Now, there's something important here, I think. You know, Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. Did he get it? The Bible says that Elijah performed 16 miracles, Elisha 32. And some of those were twice as great. For example, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Elisha prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 7 years. He got twice. He got double the portion. Double the power, double the spirit of Elijah. May I tell you what I believe with all my heart? I believe that John the Baptist did come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And what was the purpose of John the Baptist? It was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus, was it not? He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah. And do you know that that is the job of the church today? Only it is to prepare people for the second coming of Jesus. And so I look at, I see the church has the same ministry that John the Baptist had. And my prayer is this: God, give your church a double portion of what John the Baptist had. Give your church a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, because we are going to need it. If we are going to carry on the ministry, if we're going to pick up the mantle, if we're going to be the successor to John the Baptist in preparing the way for the coming of Jesus, we need to ask God for a double portion of His Spirit and power. And I believe that He'll give it to us. I believe that He won't hold back, but that He will give it to us. So would you join me in prayer? Would you make that the request of your heart? John the Baptist's ministry was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to prepare a people for meeting the Lord. That's what we have to do as well. That threefold ministry should be the focus of our ministry as well. Turn the hearts of fathers to the children, to bring those that are disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to prepare a people, get a people ready to meet the Lord. Jesus is coming. I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming, and it might be sooner than we think. Are you ready, should He come today? And if you are, what are you doing to get other people ready to meet the Lord? Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Let me ask you, are you empty that you could be filled? Are you obedient? God has given the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Are you living on the Word of God? Is it your desire to be filled with, for the glory of God? Is your vessel cleansed? Are you prepared to let the Holy Spirit do as He wants to with you and through you? And are you willing to appropriate Him by faith? If you are, if you have met those conditions, then expect, whether you've been filled before or not, expect to be filled with the Spirit and power of the Lord. Don't stop there. Say, Lord, I'm not content just to be filled. Give me a double portion. Give me what I need. Father, we thank You for the example of Elijah today. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which You give. It's part of our inheritance in Christ. Lord, we receive Him this morning. And Lord, we just accept by faith today that we are filled, we are refilled. When Elisha went out after receiving that double portion, I kind of get the impression that feelings weren't any different, because he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? But then when he acted, then You demonstrated the Spirit that was upon him. And so, Lord, whether we feel any different or not this morning, may we just go out, expect that we would be tested. But, Lord, when we step out in faith, You will prove that You have filled us with Spirit and power. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen." Could I have somebody at the piano? Is Nancy, she's still out. Danelle, you want to try?